Well, tonight we farewell 2015. Australian cities will be bursting with revellers waiting for the midnight fireworks, but others might opt to send the year off from their couches, and that's where Eddie Perfect comes in. He'll be hosting tonight's New Year's coverage for ABC TV. Eddie, welcome.
Oh, that sounded like I was literally going to be on people's couches.
Well, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
In a creepy way. I don't know if it would be nice. I don't know if you'd want me on your couch.
You could just drop in on people. That'd be great.
Yeah, Eddie Perfect. How did you feel 2015 went, guys? It was all right.
Okay. I've got to go. I've got to go next door. I'm sorry.
I'm like Santa Claus tonight. I got to get around.
You'll be eating so many cookies.
Yeah.
Okay. Eddie Perfect, you play, you sing, you write, you act. You've got your finger pretty much on the pulse when it comes to all things pop culture. What have been the standout moments for you this year?
Well, I've had a really interesting year, quite a diverse year. My life has always divided between being kind of inside my shed writing and not consuming or seeing anything. This year was kind of cool. I started co-artistically directing the Adelaide Cabaret Festival with Ali McGregor. It's an amazing sort of winter festival in June at the Adelaide Festival Centre. It's the largest of its kind in the world, and it's sort of a celebration of musical storytelling on stage. It's an amazing festival, and I was lucky enough to travel to New York, London, and Edinburgh this year to basically just kind of scout shows. You know, meet artists, take meetings and see the kind of work that's being done globally in what you could call cabaret or song on stage or however you want to define what cabaret is. And so I got to see a lot of really great stuff and to start kind of connecting the dots between what artists are doing in Australia and how it connects kind of globally. And that was really exciting. I saw some amazing things. I guess because I'm interested in writing for the musical stage. You know, I like the combination of music and theatre and writing musicals. I made sure I got to see quite a bit of stuff on Broadway, and the two sort of standout things for me this year were Fun Home, which is an adaptation of an Alison Bechdel graphic novel, which is kind of like a coming-of-age lesbian story about a woman who is reflecting on her childhood, trying to understand her parents, significantly her father, because her father committed suicide when she was young. And, like, that's a cheery topic for a Broadway musical. And you'd think, how the hell would that work on The Great White Way? But it's just recouped its initial investment. It won the Tony Award for Lisa Krohn, who wrote the book and the lyrics, and Janine Tesori, who wrote the music. And it's a beautifully integrated piece of music theatre. In fact, it's probably one of the best pieces of theatre I've ever seen. The sophistication in the storytelling is amazing, and we get the three different ages of Alison Bechdel's character, including the one that narrates the sort of 40-year-old woman. And it's just so incredibly moving. Everyone is touched by it because it's basically about trying to unravel the mystery that is your parents. You know, we have these, we grow up in families of these, you know, one or two, if you're lucky, parents that are kind of, you know, in our lives, but it's sort of a mystery to us. And the musical does a really amazing thing about trying to investigate as an adult who our parents were and why they made the choices they did. So it's sort of told in flashback and fragmented. And that was amazing. For a contemporary musical, that was really exciting. And then the other piece that really struck me was The King and I, which, of course, is the classic Rodgers and Hammerstein musical. Most people would know the film with Yul Brynner. I'd never seen it on stage before, but it was directed at the Lincoln Center, at the Vivian Beaumont Theater at the Lincoln Center. And the Lincoln Center is just one of the most divine places to go and see theater and art in New York. It's just so cool. And a guy called Bartlett Sher directed it. And he directed the South Pacific that I performed in about 3 years ago now here in Sydney. And we became mates. He's one of the smartest kind of theater makers I know. And, South Pacific, his South Pacific was revived on Broadway, the first revival in something like 55 years. And he had access to sort of the Rodgers and Hammerstein archives, got in, found material that had been cut out of town, reworked it, you know, brought out a lot of the darkness that those guys were trying to, the things about racial tension that they were trying to talk about.
Because darkness is not what you think about when you think about the musical South Pacific.
Yeah, but it really is, you know. Like, it's set in the theatre of war where everyone's kind of waiting, and it's just humongous sort of loss of life in the South Pacific. But what's also amazing about it is that it's about racism, you know. I mean, on this, what is, you know, Espiritu Santo, what used to be, which is now, I think, Vanuatu, You know, you've got American naval officers stationed there. You've got the French settlers who are kind of working the land there. You've got Tonkinese or Vietnamese itinerant workers working the land. And this is sort of, and then you've also got the local, you know, South Pacific Islander people, all in this kind of melting pot. And the show really had one of the most, South Pacific, one of the most kind of shocking songs in You Have to Be Carefully Taught, which is about the nature of racism, how that is not something that is innate, but something that is learned. And it was shocking when it first was put on Broadway. And I think they kind of smoothed the edges out, but in the version that Bartlett Sher did, it really brought that stuff to the fore. And The King and I was amazing because, you know, I was waiting to cringe. You know, I was waiting to kind of have that moment where, sure, you can shine a torch into the dark crevices of a piece of theatre, but eventually you're going to hit the bedrock of what was in the writing and the attitudes of the day. But The King and I was just absolutely beautiful and smart. So that was very exciting to see as a person that writes theatre.
Wonderful. Well, tonight, of course, New Year's Eve. I've heard you're actually not much of a New Year's Eve type of person.
No, I'm not. I mean, oh, God, who is? It's like it's hard. It's hard. You know, it's hard work. But
it is hard work. So many expectations.
I know.
So why did you sign up to host a massive party on national television? Because, you know, that seems a bit counterintuitive.
Yeah, well, because... Why? Because I've never been to the Sydney fireworks. I've never seen them. I lived here.
Oh, cheap ticket, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I get a ticket to go along and see them. I lived in Sydney for a couple of years and I never got to see them. I've always kind of been working and then you just, you know, you lose your luster for New Year's Eve when you're working. But it is exciting to be part of it and to do it in a big way this year. Normally I just kind of go away with my kids and think about things. So this year is going to be a lot more outward and a lot more fun. I was at rehearsal last night till about 10:30 p.m. and it's just beautiful down on the harbour. There's heaps of projections on the bridge. The party itself is one thing, but what's great about the broadcast is that this year ABC are taking everyone around the country, well, to Byron Bay and to Mount Dunedin for the Falls Festival, and we're just seeing some great Australian acts like Courtney Barnett, who's the favourite of mine, Paul Kelly, who I absolutely love, plus international bands like Block Party and Foals and the Wombats have got a set, and so we're getting to see lots of different music. The kids' broadcast is just so cute because it's been
I have read that you hope that Daisy the cow goes rogue. Oh. I don't even know what that means.
No.
What would that look like? It sounds dangerous.
No, there'd be a lot of mooing and just a blur of purple and sequins. Daisy the cow is my favourite. Yeah, so basically the toys have taken over the kids' broadcast with Justine Clark, and that's going to be really sweet as well. And there's a little girl, Emily, who's won the designer firework competition. I mean, I can't imagine anything cooler as a little kid. She designed a firework that's been made into a real firework, and then she gets to pull the lever and make it go off. So
make things go bang. Amazing.
Yeah, and like they were telling me the statistics of how many fireworks there are, and it just sounds terrifying. So I think I just wanted to say, if you've got a pet dog or a pet rabbit, you've really got to look after it. Yeah. And you're anywhere near Sydney.
And this is quite a tough gig too. Millions of people will be tuning in tonight. Previous hosts have copped a fair bit of criticism because, you know, everyone's a critic. Are you feeling the pressure?
Well, not really. I've never watched the I could declare my ignorance. I've never seen the ABC broadcast. I guess like statistically, you're on air for so long that there's a greater statistical probability that things will go wrong. I don't know how they've gone wrong in the past, and they'll probably go. I mean, I'm lucky because most of my hosting, I'm standing right next to the harbour wall. So if it gets too full on, I'll throw myself in the harbour and just swim for it to Kirribilli. I'll just swim to Kirribilli.
You've got an escape plan. Fantastic.
Well, you know, it's only TV.
Everyone should have an escape plan for
music. Yeah, I mean, it's only TV. So, I mean, but, you know, we're trying to make it as fun and dynamic for people who are sitting at home watching it. And it's going to be good. You know, you can kind of... I don't know. It goes for ages. I guess you can tune in and out when you'd like to.
We'll have to leave it there. Eddie Perfect, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.